With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
It's the Underdog Podcast from SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty.
Welcome to the Underdog Podcast, where we talk G5 football and only G5 football for Underdog Dynasty. This is another episode of what we have been calling Joe Talk, and that's me, Joe Serpico, and on the other side of the mic is my friend, Joe Brovac. What's up, bud?
What's up, birthday boy? How you doing?
Living the dream, man. 33 did not feel so good on Sunday morning, let's just say that. Did not feel so hot, and then the ride back from the beach was ugh. But it was an all-around fun weekend. With that said, birthday kind of overlapped with a wedding, so I didn't get to watch a whole lot of games, but that's what I have you for, right?
More or less.
You're the one that dives really into the stuff. So what we'll do on this episode, obviously recap what happened in the week that just passed, go through the power rankings that were technically released probably before this episode actually airs, and then dive into what's kind of a short week of week. I guess we're already in week five. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's, I mean, the season's going to be over before we know it.
Yeah, it's already week five. I can't believe that. Anyways, so I guess let's just dive right into the first game, which honestly was the only one I got to watch a little bit, and that was my alma mater, Temple, with a pretty decisive win over Tulsa, 31-17, Armstead with 108 yards and a TD. I think the key for this game was, I mean, Tulsa could get literally nothing going. Five turnovers, two of them were turned for scores. Temple just flat out dominated them. And honestly, the score could have been a lot worse because Temple was picked off inside their own red zone from the first drive of the game.
I saw it going kind of, it could have gone that way, but I also saw it going, like, it could have been a close game, too. I mean, did Temple score two defensive touchdowns, or one was a defensive and one was
two
a
of
special
them.
Teams?
No,
yeah.
Two of them, yeah.
So, I don't know. Temple looked better, obviously, but I didn't think they looked great.
Oh, I'm not arguing that. Definitely
Tulsa's
not.
So bad still.
Yeah, and it's a shame because they do have some, like, at least the two backs look all right.
Yeah.
But I guess just Temple's, yeah, that's literally is it. But I guess the highlight, really, of the whole weekend, and we kind of alluded to it a little bit last week, was that Friday night game, FAU versus UCF. And to be honest, it looked like the, you know, UCF was a little bit on the ropes, and then they really took control of that game with that last minute first half TD, and then two in the third quarter to just really open it up.
Yeah, being up by four at halftime was, I think everyone expected it to be close, but it just seemed that, you know, UCF is clearly the better team here, and it'll be interesting to see, and I tweeted this out on Saturday, is what's going to happen when UCF meets, like, an actual good defense. That will be interesting.
Are there any on their schedule?
That's a great question.
I don't think there are. If they're done, they're out of conference stuff, right? So it's just what's in conference, and what do we say about this conference?
They play Cincinnati.
Oh, well. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to them in a little bit.
Even the Memphis game. Like, Memphis, okay, they obviously, we'll talk about them soon, but they struggle this week, but their defense could be better than last year, and they have the offense that can compete. So that could be another potential troublesome game.
Time will tell. I guess we just kind of talked about him a little bit. Cincinnati, I would say, probably had the best win for the conference. Argue against that?
Best win.
Oh, I think Ohio is a more impressive team than people think.
Do you think they're better than FAU, though?
I think right now, you know, they kind of look like they have been. Because I don't think, you know, FAU doesn't look like what they were last year.
No, I think the hype's definitely died.
Yeah, I think the hype has died. Ohio is the team that I really did like coming into this year. I mean, and they really jumped. I mean, they jumped out ahead real quick. And then the defense that we keep talking about finally, you know, finally stepped up a little bit.
Well, and the offense did too. They scored 27 second-half points and held Ohio to 6.
Yeah, and a huge stop on that final drive there too. That was, well, obviously necessary, but, you know, a lot of teams, that's when they break right there, when all that pressure's on you in this final, you know, minute and a half or whatever it was there, and the team is driving on you. A good offensive team like that too.
Yep.
Then I guess one of the shockers of this weekend was not the, because I kind of called it, well, I called it on the podcast, didn't call it in our P6 pick'em, but SMU coming up with 31-30 win over Navy. And what made it shocking was just the way how it ended. Sonny Dykes just literally saying, you know, what the hell? I mean, why not go for two? And it was a play that, you know, was a little bit controversial. They had to look it over, things of that nature, but it counted. And that's how SMU gets the first win over, you know, a Navy team that we always say is hard to judge.
Few things with this. First, you're all talk. You don't back up what you say.
I almost predicted that Temple score dead on.
But you said SMU is going to win, and then you don't even pick them in our pick them, man. You're all talk. You just don't even follow
through. I think I just saw everybody else's, and I was like, man, I just got to follow suit because I'm trying to win this thing.
No, no.
Come
on.
I'm just trying to win it.
Man.
So, I guess I'm still on last, right?
I haven't done the records yet, but I would guess.
All right.
Second thing, does Navy have a quarterback controversy?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Do you really call it a controversy?
Well, I mean, not a controversy. More just like a shuffling of their guys.
Yeah.
Because Malcolm Berry didn't look great against SMU.
Yeah.
That's, I would expect him to rush for 200 plus. 33 yards.
Yeah. That's the thing with Navy. You don't know what you're getting either way sometimes.
That's true.
Right? Sometimes they, you know, they look like the best, and then you're just like, man, they really just show that they're, you know, they don't have the same recruits as everybody else.
Yeah. It's I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. It was weird to watch, and maybe it's, well, it's okay. So looking at SMU's first three games now with North Texas, Michigan and TCU, it's maybe we kind of overreacted to, like, they lost to three better teams, and maybe we kind of just overreacted to.
Somebody said that. Doing. Somebody said that last week. Yeah. I know a guy who said that last week.
You do. Yeah, did he pick that SMU to beat Navy, or did he just say things?
I'm about to go into that little thingy there and make a correction real quick. Even predict the score like to a T, right? All right, let's go forward with a beatdown. And it was a game that I...
Which one?
Well, this one was the major beatdown, I would say, in the conference, and that's Ohio State stomping Tulane 49-6. I mean, I kind of said it last week. Urban Meyer came back. You know they were going to have the pedal to the metal. Dwayne Haskins is damn good, real good. You would have to say probably the front runner for the Heisman right now. You agree with that?
No, Daryl Henderson, man.
Ooh. We're going to talk about him, too, because that boy is running hard right now.
I'm trying to think of who else I would pick for the Heisman right now.
Mackenzie Milton?
Tua?
Tua's probably a good one, too. But I don't think Tua has the same... You know, Tua doesn't get to play a full game.
No. I think I heard that they said that Alabama quarterbacks have yet to throw a pass in the fourth quarter.
Even Hurts has not thrown a single pass in the fourth quarter.
I don't know. I can't verify that, but I heard that, and that kind of caught my attention.
Blows my mind if that's true. Like, yeah. That genuinely blows my mind.
I'm trying to think of who else is having a... I don't think I have. Like, there's not really anybody.
I remember whoever the commentator was for the game the other night made the comment of, like, their first, I want to say it's first seven games before the bye, something of that nature. We legitimately might not see Tua play an entire game just because of how caked their schedule is.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mean, the way they just dismantled A&M after A&M just a couple weeks ago, like, you know, held their own against Clemson, who's number two.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Bama's proven right now they are the class, and it's without a doubt. Yeah. Now they got a legit quarterback. Like, they are the real deal. I don't know.
They have a legit quarterback, and they have kickers who can make field goals. So,
yeah, a lot of teams in the country can't do that. They can't punt anymore, though.
Yeah, that's true.
But they don't have to. All right, the other beatdown that you kind of mentioned a little bit, and that's Syracuse laying the wood on UConn, 51-21. The Orange scoring a ton of points this year, man. I think that's one of the more surprising teams.
And they go to Clemson this week.
Yeah, that should be a fun game to watch. UConn got, you know, manhandled yardage-wise, 636, 395. I think the main thing is, you know, we've kind of been on the Pindell hype train here, and he was largely ineffective in this game. In a game where, you know, if another team scoring 51 points, you would expect that he's going to air it out and get his numbers too.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's becoming, I don't know. It just seems, I mean, he seems like he's their leading passer and rusher every single week. And it's hard.
It's a one man crew.
Yeah. And it's tough when your defense isn't really helped. I mean, they've given up, besides Rhode Island, where they gave up 49 points, they've given up 50 plus points every single week. Like, no one guy is going to overcome that by himself.
And that's unreal. Like, Rhode Island almost hit the 50 mark, too.
Right.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yep.
Now, a game that every time I checked the score, I couldn't believe. It was ECU holding tight against USF. And honestly, I would argue that ECU, at least from what I have seen from the stats and have talked about, it seemed like for the most part they dominated the game, but they just ECU'd.
They're a lot better than last year.
That's not saying much.
It's not saying much, but it is at the same time. They only gave up 20 points to USF. And
well, I think that's what we should talk about. It's just, you know, who is USF?
Right, because, so, okay, now maybe you're starting to, you know, come around on my opinion of USF, and they've had two bad weeks in a row. Yeah, I get that beating Illinois is their second Power 5 win, but it's Illinois. Let's calm down. And then now they struggle to put away ECU. But ECU might be better, but it's still ECU.
All right. ECU, you know how I feel about them. Everybody knows. That's why I literally, and if I remember right, like ECU, they led for a little bit, a good chunk.
Maybe. I didn't watch the game. I just kept looking at the score whenever it came through on the game track or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, Charlie Strong said it best. It wasn't pretty. I mean, if you can barely beat ECU, I wouldn't call anything about that pretty.
No, it's yeah. It's just like proving, I mean, they're 4-0. We won't discredit that, but like, it's just, they haven't looked good the last 2 weeks. Their win against Georgia Tech is looking worse because of Georgia Tech's poor play. And then I don't remember who they played the first game.
Yeah,
Elon, and they.
Oh yeah, that's right. I don't even think they blew Elon out like we.
They won by 20.
Would you expect them to do more damage than that? That's what I mean.
Right. If Quentin Flowers is there, they win. Well, I can't say that because last year they had Flowers and they struggled. So I don't know. Whatever. What do I know?
Whatever is a perfect way to describe USF right now.
Yeah, seriously.
All right, then another two games in which the AAC just flat out dominated. Houston's 70-14 win over Texas Southern. Derek King continues to pile up the stats. Four more touchdowns in this game. And then Memphis with a 52-35 win over South Alabama. And you have already brought him up, but Daryl Henderson, another 188 and two TDs in this game. I mean, Memphis right now is clicking on all cylinders. I mean, every playmaker scored a touchdown somehow this week.
Yep, they're... What more do you need to say about their offense? It looks like... I mean, you could argue they have the best offense in the conference right now, and the only other two, I guess you'd say, is Houston and UCF. I don't think anybody else is on that level.
No, I think we can all, you just said it, offensively the three best teams, and I don't even think it's close. Like, I don't even know who you put at number four.
At four?
It really just becomes all muddled after that.
You have very average.
That's what I mean. Everybody else is just kind of.
Tulsa's terrible. Temple's average at best. Tulane's
done nothing.
Average at best. Cincinnati's average at best. Navy and SMU are fine. UConn's okay if they play the right team, and ECU is, we don't even know anybody on ECU.
Exactly. So it's just literally those three teams.
And USF's not even close either.
No, not offensive talent. No, I don't think so.
Nope.
So yeah, all three of those teams are in a class of their own. But I guess this is like a perfect time to segue, even though we say that those are the three teams that are the best offensively. They are not our top three teams in the power rankings.
They are
so,
not.
Joe, that was your shindig to do over this weekend. I guess I'll let you kind of run through those a little bit.
Well, what I wanted to do is kind of just look at, we can talk about each team and where they started at the beginning of the year and kind of where they are now. Obviously, some teams are the same, so to transition to that, like UCF's number one. No surprise there. We expected them to be here. I think a lot of people are expecting them to be undefeated again this year. I don't know how realistic that is, but they're kind of where we expected them to be. Defense has some concerns, but the offense is clicking and might actually be better than last year.
Yeah. I mean, Milton looks better than he did last year.
He's so much better as a passer.
Yes, he is.
Which is scary.
And they're just clicking. I think all of the preseason, like, scares about what the offense would look like with the new coaching staff, I think that's definitely put all the rest. Like, it's moving. It's clicking.
Yep, I agree. Two is Cincinnati. At the beginning of the year, did we have them as, like, the third worst team, probably?
I don't know. It was definitely in the bottom four.
They were towards the bottom. Now, I thought they had potential coming into this year. I'm not going to take credit for a 4-0 start because I didn't see that coming. But
nobody did.
I thought Luke Fickell was doing a great job in the offseason. Last year, the team looked like they were a little bit better playing with Fickell, but obviously the record didn't reflect that. And now they're 4-0. And they had some adversity this week, obviously against Ohio, which you and I both agree that Ohio is a pretty good team. And they stormed back in the second half to beat a solid team. And that's why they're number two this week.
Yeah, they're definitely going bowling, which I don't know if we would say earlier in the year. I don't think we thought that. I thought they were borderline, but now, I mean, I can't see them all of a sudden now losing six of the last eight or whatever it is.
If you and I went through at the beginning of the year and, like, optimistically picked six wins, I think we would have maybe struggled for that. But now they got to get two more wins to be bowl eligible.
Then they should. They might get that. Well, they're going to might be one more closer this week.
Exactly. Number three, USF. They were number two last week. When you struggle 2 weeks in a row against teams that you should win by way more than they did, then you're not. I mean, they're 4-0. It's not like they're a terrible team, but Cincinnati has looked so much better than USF in the last 2 weeks, and I would say overall, just more consistent. So that's why USF is third, and conference play might expose the Bulls even more.
I think that is due. I think the Bulls will be exposed. I think the next two teams you have on your list are better, but we're just going to have them ranked where they're at now just because USF is undefeated.
And that's really, I mean, you mentioned it, Houston's 4. They lost to Texas Tech, which is looking like a pretty good loss.
Mm-hmm.
Considering what the Red Raiders just did to Oklahoma State on the road. So there's no shame in that. Obviously, you got to fix the defensive issues, but there's no shame in that. And then Memphis lost to Navy, which that loss doesn't look great, but you have to consider the conditions that they were playing in. So I would agree with you that you could say that Houston and Memphis could be 2-3.
Yeah.
You can make that argument, but you know, they have a loss, but it is what it is. And then this probably the surprise of the power rankings is SMU at 6, which they were last week. They were 12th, and like we just said earlier, I think maybe we overreacted to losing to North Texas, TCU, and Michigan. So it seems fitting why not just overreact to their first conference win and put them up here.
I think we're going to find more about SMU out in these next couple weeks, obviously. But I think, like you kind of just said, they just got beat up by teams that every one of those teams undefeated. Am I right just to make that assessment?
No, Michigan lost.
No, that's right. Michigan does have a loss.
And TCU just lost 2 in a row.
Man.
But both those teams should
but they're dominate. But they're solid. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, they should dominate an SMU team who's...
SMU should have played better against North Texas, but they... North Texas is a good team.
North Texas has got something to prove this year.
Yeah, exactly. So there's no shame in, you know, losing to them, but DC and Michigan should have did what they did to SMU. Number 7 is Navy. I see they beat Memphis, if you want to just go by the score. And then they lose to SMU, and
quarterback, I mean, that describes them perfectly, I feel like.
Yeah, it's just I feel like there's a few teams that we just will continue to scratch our heads every single week.
Well, that's why Navy is your, like, always will be in the middle of our power rankings. We're never gonna put them on the bottom. We're never gonna put them on the top.
Yeah, that's true. Just because the triple option will never let them be a terrible team.
Exactly.
Number 8 are your boys at Temple. Still have no idea. Just like Navy, no idea who they are. What their
we don't even know who our quarterback is right now.
Well, there's also that. It sounds like I hate to say it, but it literally sounds like Temple is the same team as last year.
It does. But at least last year, it was a, like, became a full-on benching of Logan Marchie. Like, this year, it's like, is he really hurt? I don't know if he's really hurt. And I know it was a quick turnaround, so maybe that played a part in the reason why he didn't play on Thursday night. But at the same time, we don't know when this injury, I still don't know when this injury happened. Yeah, and now he's sat out for 2 games, and Russo, I mean, he hasn't done anything to, like, really win the job, but he also hasn't lost games.
Right. Well, and here's the other thing with this team and the team that we're going to talk about next is this is going to come up all year, is that a lot of people thought that Temple had a shot, which granted they still do. We're not, like, excluding them from being in the hunt, but the fact that people thought that they could win the division as a dark, you know, they thought they were a dark horse team, and now they're sitting at 8 in our power rankings. Like, that's concerning.
I was one of those people, even though it was my alma mater, said I didn't buy the hype. I thought last year's schedule down the stretch really helped them out. They didn't really play anybody.
People should listen to you more.
They should. Especially since I'm back on the good side on the picks.
There you go. And speaking of listening to you, we should all thank you for warning us about Tulane. And like I said, another team that at the beginning of the year, I think everybody, and I mean literally almost everybody, was thinking that Tulane had a shot to run the table. And
whoa, run the table?
There were a lot of people who not run the table, but
they just played Ohio State. They weren't beating them.
Not run the table. Excuse me. I meant in conference play was what I was getting at. So not run the table, but I think people thought they were legit contenders.
Everybody hyped that team up at the media day. Even when we had Chris Vanini on the show, he hyped them up too. He said that they were the most hyped team at media days. And what did I say? I said, I ain't like their schedule. And that's exactly what's killing them right now, their schedule.
Here's the thing. So at week one against Wake Forest, that one overtime drive, I think that killed a lot of their momentum this season already. And then they lost the game.
I mean, the way they lost that game, too.
I think that it wasn't that they just lost a lot of them.
It wasn't that they just lost in overtime. It was the way they lost that game, too. Yeah. Two penalties that, basically lost the game for them. And then, ever since then, again, schedule hasn't been favorable to them. That's why I didn't understand when everybody was so big on them. I said, look at the teams they got to play. They're not playing average teams.
Here's what I will say to kind of defend them. If they beat Wake Forest, so say they somehow, because towards the end of regulation, I think a lot of people expected, oh, Tulane's winning this game. So say that they pull out that win, I think they beat UAB. They're not beating Ohio State. Like, doesn't matter how much momentum they have, but they're 3-1 instead of 1-3, and that's a much different team than they are right now.
I wouldn't go as far to say they beat UAB, though. Like, I could see them still as a 2-2 team, and then we're definitely talking about them differently.
I like their chances better as a 2-0 team playing UAB than a 1-1 team, though. The confidence you have from being undefeated is so much better than being 1-1.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, it was 2 weeks later. Like, I could understand if you're making that argument after they came off the loss to Wake Forest. Then they had the who was that soft team that they beat in there?
Nichols,
that's who it was, yes. I can, you know what I mean? Like, they had like 2 weeks to get over that loss to Wake.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. But, I mean, that UAB game still could have gone either way. We could be looking at a 3-1 team, but now we're, back to our original point. Is they're 1-3, and like Temple, we're not really sure who this team is. And it's not like life gets easier the next 2 weeks when they play Memphis and Cincinnati.
Nope. And that's what I talked about. That schedule, because I believe Memphis is on the road.
They're at home, Memphis, and they're at Cincinnati.
It's at Cincinnati. Hold on. Let me look this. Because I remember even down the stretch, they're on the road against USF. They're on the road against Houston. It's not favorable. The whole thing over the year did not look favorable to me.
Yeah, it's just...
Sometimes I'm right.
Well, and then the other thing is, it doesn't help that... I mean, the game at Cincinnati was going to be tough, but with what we thought of Cincinnati at the beginning of the year, we thought, Tulane's got a chance. Same with SMU. Tulsa could still be bad, but Tulsa was bad, so we didn't think that would be hard. And ECU was trash, so we thought that would be easy, too. But, yeah, I think because now ECU's looked a little different, we're not sure what we're going to get out of Tulsa. And SMU is, they just beat Navy. So, like you said, I'm right there with you. Things just don't look good.
They're not going bowling. I will put my foot down on that one. They will not go bowling.
You gonna put that in writing, or are you just gonna say it on the podcast?
I already put it in writing. I picked that team to be in the under in the so I'm gonna re-mention that every episode.
Okay.
They were one of the teams I put on the under, and it is looking perfect.
Number 10, ECU, another team. I feel like we're just gonna keep saying we don't know what we're gonna get because ECU loses North Carolina A&T, and then they beat North Carolina, and then now they lose to USF, but they only lose by 7. So, here's my question. Did we learn more about ECU in that game, or did we learn more about USF?
USF? I think we're coming to learn that USF is not as good as people thought they were.
Huh.
Even a couple weeks ago, I'm going to agree with you on this part. Even a couple weeks ago, I was a little bit more on USF than you were, but I haven't seen any. There hasn't been that, like, I can't say that either because what was the team that they beat that was actually pretty impressive 2 weeks ago?
Georgia Tech.
Like, I don't want to say that was a not bad loss. That's actually a good win for them, especially the way they won that game. But then the way they looked these past 2 weeks, you're just like, who are they?
I'm going to be honest, I don't think I've ever been on USF's bandwagon.
But then at the same time, ECU is just ECU.
I'll get you to like them eventually.
I don't know about that.
11 and 12, we could just flip-flop at this point. It's Tulsa, who their defense looks not awful compared to last year. Their offense looks just as lost as last year. And then UConn, who has so much potential in David Pindell, but there's literally nothing else around him or on the other side of the ball.
There's really nothing else to say about those two teams.
That's. Here's another question for you. At this rate, this is a pretty obvious answer, but which Montgomery is going to get fired first?
Oh. Philip.
That's my thought.
I don't know.
At least Scotty's teams are showing some fight.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Are they? Or maybe it's just
USF North Carolina. This is a team that was giving up 500 yards per game last year. And they beat North Carolina. You don't do that 1 year and then beat a Power 5 team the next year. And only give up 19 points to that team.
I don't know. We can make the same argument, like, okay, they beat ECU, has one win is against North Carolina, right? And we're going to let's just even talk that game right now. Old Dominion, that's who ECU's playing this week, just beats Virginia Tech. Are we trying to say right now that Old Dominion's head coach deserves to keep his job because he gets one win?
Has that happened in the past and they got fired, like the guy got fired? I'm trying to think of, is there anybody that
picks up one win over Power 5 school and then keeps his job?
Because that's a big win. Like, no one else will talk about Old Dominion football unless that game gets brought up from this year. No one's going to pay attention to that besides their fans. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Old Dominion was bad this year, too, in those first three games. Bad. Playing some pretty bad teams and get whooped up on.
Yeah. So I don't know. We can leave that to the Conference USA podcast to decide.
Now, we just kind of mentioned it. I guess we'll just talk about that game. Here was the one stunning thing I never thought I would say on a podcast episode with you, my friend. ECU is favored in this game.
By how much?
5 points.
What? Five?
Yes. What is going on? We just watched, we just said it. Old Dominion just beat Virginia Tech. I'm putting Virginia Tech over North Carolina the next 25 years and in the past 25 years.
What?
I don't get it.
So I was kind of right when I said that ECU is good, but I was wrong about the good part. It was just ECU and then favored.
Yeah.
Wow. 5 points, too.
I never thought I would say ECU favorite. Because when they play those, I don't even think they were the favorite when they played JMU, were they?
I don't know.
Remember last? I'm pretty sure, JMU usually gets a line just because they're one of the bigger ones. But if I remember correctly, JMU was favored in that game against ECU last year. Yeah.
Wow.
When I saw that, I had, literally, triple take. I said, wait.
I don't believe you.
Wait. Look it up.
I'm looking it up. I do believe you. I just want to look it up for myself.
You have to see
5 points.
So you have to see it with your own eyes, huh? It's one of those. I was shocked myself. I was like, wait a second.
5 points. There it is.
Couldn't believe it. Teams were basically the same record. And
you know what's sad, though? I can see ECU winning that game. Old Dominion coming off that huge win. Emotions are super high. And then they play ECU, who doesn't hold the same weight as Virginia Tech. And they're on the road.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I can see everything you just said is literally what through my mind, too.
It sounds crazy, but
when I saw the number, I was like, 5. You got to be kidding me. ECU. And then basically what you just said is what went through my mind, too. I was like, well, Old Dominion, emotional high coming in there. ECU might just punch him in the mouth real quick. I can't believe I just said that about ECU.
You're coming around.
Think I'm
Remember at the beginning of the year, I told you.
I think at 33, I'm getting dementia.
I was gonna get you to come around on ECU, and the process has started.
It's this dementia with old age.
Ooh, watch out.
All right, let's go Friday night's game first. Since I guess technically we're supposed to go in order, but we kind of brought up ECU, and I was just so stunned to see them a favorite. Friday night, Tulane, 14.5. Or what am I saying? Memphis, a 14.5-point favorite versus Tulane. It's Friday night, 8 p.m. on ESPN2. I mean, honestly, we talked in-depth about the struggles with Tulane. And with the way Memphis's offense is just firing at all cylinders, that 14 number doesn't sound too crazy to me, even on the road.
It could be higher. Memphis offense is probably just as lethal as Ohio State's offense is.
Ooh, that's a bold statement right there.
It's different. Like you, with Ohio State, you have like all these guys you just know, and it's like Ohio State's really good offensively. I'm not like taking anything away from them, but they also have that factor of their talent. They're more talented than Tulane. They have that mental side of things where Tulane comes into that game thinking, okay, this guy is better than me that I'm lining across from. Whereas Memphis doesn't get that benefit. They just have to be good.
Well, like I've said, Norvell is just he's a quarterback whisperer.
Well, like right now, if you had to play against Ohio State or Memphis, who would you pick?
Who would I rather play against?
Yeah.
Memphis.
Yeah, exactly. Because why? They have less... this perceived lesser talent.
I wouldn't say it's perceived.
Well, yes, not perceived. You're right. This lesser talent, put that in quotes, just because they're not like a 4 or 5 star guy. But if Memphis put up 49 or more points, no one's going to be surprised.
No, obviously not. Just the way that Memphis is operating, not just this year, too. I think it dates back to even last year. I think now when we talk about Memphis, we can say that maybe it wasn't just Riley Ferguson, man. Maybe it doesn't matter who's that quarterback.
Mike Norvell is good. Well, here's the thing, though, with that is so.
I mean, he has benefited from having two very good quarterbacks. Or I should say now what? No, two. Yeah. Because I was thinking Paxton Lynch, but that was not his. That was Fuentes.
Yeah. But there were two guys that you didn't know if they were going to be good. Like, he still developed them into what they were, /are, with Brady White.
Yeah, Memphis has done a solid job. I wouldn't, they're not producing NFL talent, but it's at least quarterback numbers. They're really stacking them up.
The only problem is that Norvell's probably gone at the end of the year.
I think that we can assume that's a guarantee now.
Well, he almost took the Arkansas job this past offseason.
Yep. So I think that's why, barring a disaster down the stretch, which I can't see coming. Yeah. Honestly, he wouldn't surprise me if he's one of those guys that doesn't even coach a bowl game.
Which that's one thing is like, it's great for Memphis because they had Fuente and then now they have Norvell. But that's, part of being in a group of five conference is, it's yep, almost like you got they're like rentals.
And then you just constant turnover.
You gotta give them away. Which that makes Norvell's success right now even that more much more impressive.
Yeah, because not one of these guys really are his. This is still
is this his fourth year?
Has it been that many already? Why did I only think it was three? I guess
He's been there. He's been there for four.
It has been four already?
Yeah, so these are his guys.
Okay.
But still, like, he was... Well, let me make sure. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Let me look that up, because...
I feel like Fuentes... Part of me wants to say even 2 years, to be honest. So I feel like Fuentes has only been at Virginia Tech. Now I'm thinking of Virginia Tech. I feel like it's only been 2 years that he's been.
No, this is his third year. So yeah, some of these guys aren't even his. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what. Okay. See, sometimes I do know what I'm talking about, and you try to tell me no.
I'm just creating dialogue.
Fictional dialogue.
I tend to do that. But it's just impressive that he's doing that at the, you know. Fuente did what he did, and then Norvell takes over and just continues doing
the same thing. Skip a beat.
If not better. And it's just, it's frustrating to watch because my hometown team, the Gophers, they're kind of the same thing, but they're on the Power 5 levels. And it's just like, it's so frustrating that these jobs are just considered stepping stones to a better job. Which I understand, like, from a personal perspective, like, and a professional perspective, you want to keep moving up in your field and you want to keep doing better, and I get that, but from a big picture thing, it just sucks because Memphis's program right now is arguably the best it's ever been, and that all could change because Norvell might leave at the end of the year.
You need to get into 2018, my friend. There is no loyalty in anything anymore.
I know. That doesn't mean I'd have to accept that. I can still hate it.
Nothing. Not in sports, not in life, not in anything.
Hey, I'm loyal to you in this podcast. There's some loyalty.
That's why we named this Joe Talk, and that's why we are the longest standing podcast on here.
If you go, I go.
Damn, that's... tag team forever.
Cyrus, Jared, you hear that? Joe goes, I go. It's over. No more Joe talk.
Until they bring other Joe over here and just keep it alive somehow.
They find two more Joes.
Right, yeah. Probably two more Joes. Two not-so-average Joes. All right, so dive into Saturday's games. Temple travels to a 3-1 Boston College team. What are you laughing at? I didn't even get through it, and you're laughing already.
Yeah, Temple's going to get killed.
Yeah, Boston College. So I don't even want to talk about Temple. Can we just talk about A.J. Dillon?
I was just going to ask you, what dollar amount would I have to give you to try and tackle A.J. Dillon for a whole game?
Me?
Yeah.
For a whole game?
Yeah.
Am I trying to make money off of this?
What amount of money is worth it to you?
To try to tackle him.
Like, you're in, obviously it's unrealistic, but like, say that every play, you are the first person to meet him in the hole and you have to take him one-on-one, and he guaranteed he is going to run you over and your body is going to be destroyed.
Okay. How many times? The whole game, you said, right?
Sure. So, Say 80 times.
Well, he doesn't touch the ball 80 times. Let's be real. Let's say 25, 30. All right, so I got
there you go.
25, 30 times of him just pounding me in the freaking face, basically. how much? Because I know I'm not going to work for a couple of days. So, yeah, let's talk an easy number, 5,000.
That's not bad.
Hey, man, I'm not trying to break someone's bank. I'm trying to take a nice chunk out of it.
That's assuming you don't have like 8 concussions from that one game and a million broken bones.
Yeah, that's what insurance is for.
Also true. That's basically what's going to happen to Temple. They should take the $5,000. Oh, wait, they can't. That's illegal.
That's awesome. Take the $5,000 temple and just say, go home. Just take the beating and go home. Yeah, AJ Dillon, one of those guys. Honestly, if he wasn't playing for Boston College, it was like a major program, he would be getting a lot more publicity because that guy just runs hard.
He's huge. Have you seen his legs?
Yes.
Jeez Louise. Oh,
they're trees.
God.
They're tree trunks.
They're huge.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that me and one of my buddies, we always talk about. Honestly, we tried to find before the season started, what was his number for being the Heisman winner? And it wasn't there, which shocked both of us.
Well, because you have like Jonathan Taylor and Bryce Love ahead of him.
Yeah, well, yeah, but then like, remember what before the season started, I even listed Frank Neutile as somebody whose number was on there, but not AJ Dillon. Like, I couldn't figure that out.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hey, I just put out what Bovada put out there, man. I made it public. And I was just like, wait a second, that's a major head scratcher.
Huh.
But yeah, this is a game where Temple's defense is just going to get, they're going to get pounded all game long.
Now you know why I laughed.
And then, I mean, some people are, because some people kind of forget, but Steve Adazio is the old Temple coach, and a lot of people at Temple don't like the way he left. Because it wasn't like Matt Rhule did in the past where, like, he brought something, you know, he brought us a championship, or even Al Golden, like, he went off into Miami, but, you know, he brought Temple back to being somewhat relevant again. And Steve Adazio, I mean, he did next to nothing. And then dipped out.
Boston College.
Well, yeah, he's got AJ Dillon.
But he's been doing things before AJ Dillon, though.
He's average.
Are you
average
kidding
coach?
Me?
He's an average coach at an average program.
Well, wow, they overachieve almost every year.
I ain't buying it.
Are you really? Have you know seen some of the kids they get? Like, even AJ Dillon wasn't that highly recruited.
You want a perfect example of Boston College? Matt Ryan in the NFL.
Dude, Matt Ryan's killing it right now.
What do you mean killing it? He's a choke artist.
Right now, not like in the past, right now, currently, he is killing it. He just got me 48 points on my fantasy team.
Who cares about your fantasy team? They lost the game.
That's also true, but that's more of a defensive thing. If you score 37 points, you should be able to win.
How good is Calvin Ridley, though?
And he went to Alabama, so I don't care.
Yeah, that's good.
He's pretty good.
He is pretty good.
I mean, back to Boston College, they produced Luke Kuechly. Their defenses are always legit.
Because of Steve Adazio?
I mean, maybe not because of him, but just Boston College as a whole has always been.
They can have him. You guys can keep him for good. I'll take Jeff Collins over him any day of the week.
Well, did Steve Adazio ever lose to an FCS team?
I'm going to look that up because I'm sure he has. I'm sure that mofo has.
Let's see, from 2013 to 2018.
While you look that up, I'll go through into the next game, and that's Pittsburgh will travel to UCF. We mentioned earlier UCF still undefeated. Pitt currently has a 2-2 record. The Knights are a 15.5-point favor over a Power 5 team.
Because didn't Pitt just lose to... Who did they just lose to? Didn't they lose to North Carolina?
Was that who they lost to? Because that's pretty pathetic if they did.
They just lost to North Carolina. Just lost to ECU the week before they played.
Who just lost to North Carolina A&T?
Yeah, it just sucks for UCF. I mean, not that they were going to make a playoff run. With the schedule they had, I mean, it would be a long shot, but now it's like North Carolina loses to ECU, and then they didn't play last week because of the hurricane, but then they were supposed to play UCF, and obviously that game didn't mean as much after losing to ECU. And now Pitt loses to North Carolina. It's just like a snowball effect. And
why are there so many common games? This just seems a little bit weird too.
Yeah, I don't know how, like, if scheduling just was.
There's a lot of common games in there. I feel like we just mentioned the same three teams four times.
Yeah.
But what do you think of that 15.5 point number?
Against Pitt? Well, that it really has to more to do with UCF's offense than anything, because every time I watch UCF play, at least on offense, it's just. It's like a video game. It seriously is. They just do whatever they want. Like NCAA 14, there are times where I literally don't care what play I pick. It's just like, oh, I'm going to pick that play and we'll just see how it works. That's literally what they're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
that's a perfect analogy right there too.
That's literally what it is. It's
try whatever and see if it works.
Oh, hey, we haven't run four verts in a while. Let's just try that, even though we've run four. Or even like, oh, hey, we've run four verts the last 10 plays in a row. Let's just run it again because we know it's going to work. Like, it seems like whoever. Phew, let me be O coordinator. Hey, what do you want to do? Oh, well, let's run the ball this play. Oh, 30-yard gain. What do you want to do now? Oh, play action pass. 60-yard touchdown. You know,
When you used to play the games and you just feel like whatever the coach's suggestion was.
And didn't even look at the game.
Didn't even look at it, just hit the two buttons twice and be like, all right, that's the play I'm running.
Exactly.
I like that analogy. That's a good one.
Boston College, at least under, well, I should say Steve Adazio at Boston College has not lost to an FCS team.
Give me some losers he has. I want to hear some bad losses. I know he has them.
I mean, 2012, they lost to Army by 3. Who else did they? Oh, wait, he wasn't even there. Never mind. Nix that loss. Funny, they did play Villanova in 2013, and they only won by 10.
Like I've said before, Villanova is no slouch.
Lost Syracuse by 3 in 2013. They lost to Pitt by 10. They lost Colorado State in 2014 by 3. That's probably their worst loss. Let's look here. Who else? Nope.
He's got a 500 record at Boston College.
Nope. Which is like what I expect out of him, but I said they were underrated. I didn't say they were good. Calm down.
Let's get off of them. I'm done talking about.
They don't even have any bad losses, really. They like lose to the teams that they're supposed to lose to.
Yeah, like Temple.
Last year they lost to Notre Dame, Clemson, Virginia Tech, and NC State, and then they lost to Wake Forest. They just lose the teams that they're supposed to lose to.
Nah, let's stop talking about them. We talked Old Dominion ECU, so we'll talk about the other in-conference game this week, and that's undefeated Cincinnati going to UConn. That's a 3:30 start. You can see it on CBS Sports Network. And here's my second thing that I never thought I would say about on this podcast.
Don't tell me UConn's favored.
Cincinnati is a 17-point favorite.
Okay, good.
I'm back in UConn big time in this game.
Really?
Cover that spread? Oh, yeah. What has Cincinnati's offense done to prove to you that they can outscore a team by 17 points?
I mean, they outscored an FCS team by, like, 56.
Yeah, that's an FCS team.
Well, you didn't say that. You didn't clarify.
And the way that UConn's, I mean, UConn's going to score points.
They beat Miami of Ohio by 21.
UConn is going to score points.
Against that defense? Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh, do you like Cincinnati's defense or do you not? Come on, man.
I like David Pindell. And I think he will get enough points for that game to be a cover.
I'm going to take credit for getting you on the David Pindell train.
You can do that. That I will give you.
I like that take, though.
UConn's going to cover. That's an easy cover. That spread's way too high for UConn on the road. Or, excuse me, Cincinnati on the road. Way too high.
Yeah.
Their offense hasn't done anything to really, like, you know what I mean? Like, they haven't blown anybody out other than that FCS team. They're just like, they just do enough to just get the job done kind of thing.
Yeah, UCF at home against Pitt should be a higher spread than Cincinnati at UConn on the road.
I ain't arguing that.
I'm with you there.
And then the last game for the conference this week is SMU will be at home against Houston Baptist. SMU loses that game, then I really don't know what to make of that team.
Let's not go there. We can go there next week if it happens. We can just have a whole podcast about what is wrong with SMU.
If that's the case, then we're going to really just talk about... Can Sonny Dykes get fired after six games?
Oh, jeez, no. No, he cannot.
After the bowl game debacle and then going that route?
Oh, man.
Yeah, all right. That's it. That's it for the games this week. It's a short one. Which means next week we'll have not much to talk about, so we do plan on sending out a little bit of a mailbag. Get you guys to ask us some questions, and we'll answer them on here. Joe, what do you think is going to be the most asked question?
We're probably going to get a bunch of trolls talking about Power 6.
Well, yeah, you know that's coming. how much trolling are you going to get about USF?
Bring it. I will talk about it all day.
Yeah.
I hope the first question is, why do you guys hate USF?
You know it's going to be. You probably know where it's coming from already. In-house.
Good. Bring it.
It'll be coming from in-house. From someone on the staff with us. But yeah, that's all we got for this episode of the Underdog Podcast. Make sure you're following the show on iTunes or however else you're listening to us. Give us a follow on Facebook, Twitter, whatever good old social media stuff is out there these days. I feel like I just heard of some new one the other day, and I was like, I'm not even going to bother to get into it. On that note, ECU, they actually going to cover that 5-point spread?
Doubtful.
I think I got you back on my side now.
No, they're covering then. Not going back to your side. You're coming to mine.
That's that.